Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome into the nightcap. We got 2 hours for you today. Sabres After Dark. We had a mini blizzard here about 20 minutes ago outside the studio. It's March 18th. You need to call it quits.
It was not a blizzard. It was...
visibility was low.
Yes.
Yeah. So
blizzard is... Yeah. I will not call anything a mini blizzard.
Not after the history we've had for the past 2 years. So...
yes.
As you may know, I'm not Zach Jones, filling in for him this week, producing and hosting the nightcap here. I have with me Evan DePasquale on the board, running the operation behind the scenes as we get closer, as we lead you up to Sabres pregame at 9 o'clock on a big week for the Sabres. I mean, they're on their final West Coast trip of the season, and they're 5 points out now. They had the opportunity to be 1 point out from the playoffs. They just didn't score the other day. The second period was a little rough to watch. Listen, they had opportunities, couldn't get it done, unfortunately. Move past it. Flip the page in the book, if you will, and we're on to the West Coast trip, the final stretch here of the season in a couple weeks here, and listen, the 5 points out, there's a 95% chance they don't make the playoffs. They got a 5% shot for a wild card spot, and I'm looking at playoffstatus.com right now, pulling that. It's getting down to the wire here. I don't know what to do. I'm a hopeless optimistic when it comes to a sports fan. I like to think I don't know. The Bills, you and I, Evan, both grew up. I was born in 2002. The drought was my entire childhood. The Sabres, I was three the last time they were really relevant, four or five in that area. I'm not sitting down and breaking down NHL games at that point, unfortunately. So, listen, it's tough to get excited about the Sabres team because the Bills, you got excited for them when Tyrod Taylor went to the playoffs, right? Then they draft a superstar progress quarterback who was a work in progress at the time, comes out with a low completion percentage for the rest of the collegiate quarterbacks that came out in the 2018 draft, and he's a superstar, NFL superstar. The Sabres, last season, you saw multiple players, after the fallout of the Eichel trade, because that was just such a stain on the legacy, saw multiple players just kind of break out. Tage Thompson, back-to-back 40-goal seasons, like, it's unreal to me. And then this season, regression is the big thing, right? All your star players have almost gone backwards a step, it feels like. They're the most consistently inconsistent team in the NHL.
It's so weird.
Yeah. Look at them last week and then look at them on Saturday.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. I'll tell you, I think that sometimes you have bad games. And so I'm not
going to
get upset about this one. You know, they're playing on the road. They're playing really well.
That's where they play their best hockey, though, unfortunately.
I know.
Yeah. Listen, it's tough. Because you want to get excited. They could have been 1 point out from a playoff spot. And guess what? That's where they ended last season. So after the season felt like a failure for most of it, some people were saying, pack up the bags. Let's just go home. Sit the starters. Completely forget about them. they're still there. They're right. They would have been closer, but they are still there. There's still opportunity ahead for them to try and make this final push. It's whether or not we get the consistently inconsistent Sabres, or we see the team from last year putting up solid points every game, taking games to overtime, getting those points, scraping for them in the point system, which I personally despise. I think it should be changed. I don't like it at all.
I know. Jeremy on the morning show, he's always talking about the 3-2-1 point system.
That's how it should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
Because
you're
making a regulation win more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was, obviously,
I guess
with how
it,
yes.
But it shouldn't, like, the loser shouldn't get 1 point. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if you take every game and make every game 3 points, I also think that either one team could really run away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Or it can make someone that is at the bottom maybe win a few regulation games in a row and be back in the race.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, we wouldn't know until it's tried at 1 point. I can tell you right now, it's never going to happen. In close years, I should say.
It might happen in the NHL. You should not be surprised that they're not doing anything that would help improve their game.
Exactly. Oh, I don't know. I just sit here. The NHL just frustrates me a little bit, but whatever. We'll move past it. The Sabres are 5 points out. They're playing the Seattle Kraken tonight, a team who they've never beat in the history of their tenure in the NHL, except... They're like babies. They're new. I mean, 2 years, right? Two full seasons?
Yeah, I mean...
Something like that?
It's kind of annoying, but at the same time, it's just like, come on.
I mean, they're due. That's how I'm looking at it. They're due, all right? And coming off a game like they had on Saturday, a rough one, I think it gives them all the more motivation to do that. We'll see if it happens, all right? We'll see if it happens. They recalled Devon Levi. He's on the trip with them. I assume he's going to play tomorrow night in the back-to-back because they have to go through customs and everything. Paul Hamilton was talking about it.
Does that just show
today.
That they have no confidence in Eric Comrie that he's
good? Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think I have confidence in Eric Comrie. So, I feel like it kind of shows that. But they also, you're at the end of the season, right? Levi's been lighting it up in Rochester. He's been playing extremely well. Now might be a time where you're like, okay, here are the keys, you know?
I'll tell you.
I wouldn't have him
as your backup, but what I would do is put him on this West Coast trip. Once it's done, send him back to Rochester.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they'll do. They have him up, honestly, just to give them the best chance, I would say.
I don't know how to feel about this goaltender situation. Maybe this is how people felt when Biron and Miller were going at it.
See, but Miller really... I think he had a stronger start than Levi did. And Levi last season had a great start, don't get me wrong, in those few games he played. But this season, I mean, Luukkonen was not who he was until 2024 calendar year. So you're putting the shoulders of the franchise on someone who's my age, 21 years old, essentially, right? I don't think I get it. Like, you should expect him. You drafted him, whatever, to play. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know how I necessarily feel about it. You know, I feel like you got to give him a little bit of time to develop. They left him in when he was struggling. You're killing his confidence, in my opinion. And now he's in Rochester. Look at him. He's lighting it up. So, yeah, give him a shot back up here on a back-to-back where Luukkonen can't do it. Like, getting through customs with all those guys is going to be a nightmare.
That's the real thing. Mm-hmm. Putting Luukkonen on a back-to-back.
Through customs, everything.
Just, on the road.
Yeah, on the road. It's not what you want to do.
You're better off.
Even though he's locked down, like he's been very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he hasn't gotten help from the team, like on Saturday.
I'm not trying to sound like I'm hating on UPL, but I'm just not 100% convinced that he's going to be the man, the number one. He's played amazing, but I have some concerns. Sometimes goaltenders can be hot for a year, and then the next year,
true.
It goes down the drain.
That's a warranted fear. I will say that. A little concern there. Why don't you let us know, if you're out there listening, what you think. Phone number is 716-803-0550, because now you got to put 716 in front of every local number because the phone can't do that itself anymore. So 803-0550. Want to hear your thoughts, maybe on the Sabres goalie situation, how confident you are going into this West Coast trip. If you are listening out there, we'd love to get connected to the fans. So quickly, though, I want to pivot while we maybe wait for a couple callers. The Bills, I want to touch on this a little bit. They extended Taron Johnson's contract, right? I think it's what is it?
Thinking 3 years, 31, 33, 30, something like that.
I've said it in updates all night. I can't believe I can't remember this. But
how dare you?
Yeah, 3 years, about $31 million, I want to say it is. That's a great extension. I'm a big fan of it. I love Taron Johnson. He's probably going to be one of the better defensive players you've had in, you know, looking 10 years down the road. He's been locked down. He's one of the top four at his position in the NFL, I would say. And this is a great signing for being in the Bills. And, you know, it just shows they take care of the players that do well for them. And they move on from the players who are getting up there in age. They know when to do it. This was a mass clean-out year. The purge, as I like to call it, happened. And, you know, we're sitting here watching the guys who broke the playoff drought get released, get cut, get traded, everything. And then they keep a guy like Taron Johnson, who is most memorable play for me, I probably for everyone else listening too, is the pick six against the Ravens in the divisional playoff round. That is the key play I remember from Taron Johnson. And, you know, it's a great extension, in my opinion. And the Bills, they're in a tough spot here, okay? Mike Shope and the Bulldog were talking about it a little while ago. What are the expectations supposed to be, right? They have consistently, they went to the AFC Championship once, then it's been the divisional round. One time in the divisional round in the past few trips, was it ever a blowout? And that was against the Bengals, of course, at home. That was a horrible game. But Allen had a UCL injury. There were things, the O-line couldn't block. Like, it was just, I feel like it's not the consistent part of the team there. You're looking at the Chiefs' losses. They played the best team the best they could, and they went on to win the Super Bowl last year, and they were on the road. So it's a little NFL talk. We'll dabble into some free agency coming up here, but first, get connected with our fans here. Ryan in Toronto, what would you like to talk about?
Hey, guys.
So how's it going?
I want to talk about is, you guys touched on how the Sabres played last week. They absolutely like smoked the Red Wings at home and then beat Islanders and Edmonton as well. Why is it so difficult for the Sabres to put together a four-game winning streak? Is it a mental issue? Is it a fatigue issue? Is it a coaching issue? I don't understand this. If you could explain to me, that would be great.
Yeah.
So that four-game winning streak would be a 1 point away from a playoff spot.
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have put it any better. I wish I had the complete answer here. I mean, a lot of the fans are attributing it to coaching, right? And maybe it's not the head coach. Maybe it's not Don Granato, right? But maybe it's they haven't had any decent power play minutes all season, it feels like. Like, they haven't been able to really put things together when they needed to. And again, the best way to put it is consistently inconsistent. They could be the best team in hockey for three games in a row. Then you play a team that you played earlier in the week and killed 7-3, and you cannot put it back together again for, I get it. It's like a divisional round in football, right? Divisional opponent. You play them harder the second time if you lose to them the first time. They couldn't get anything going in that game. They scored one goal, and that was it. They lost 4-1. So they really let Detroit kind of walk on them that entire game. The pace you saw.
I think the second period I was noticing,
it was, yeah,
a faster pace from Detroit. And
yeah, they upped it on them.
They looked tired.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't want to make that as an excuse, but.
No, that could be an issue. It's not saying it's not. It's just.
But yeah, like putting together four wins in a row, or at least a winning streak.
There was a time a couple weeks ago that they couldn't put together more than two games in a row.
Oh,
one game in a row. They finally do it, and then you can't put another one together. And it's against an opponent you recently saw, and I get it. That could be said as it's more difficult, right, to do that back-to-back. But at the same time, it's just kind of, you know what they're going to do. They upped the pace on you. They took your thing that you did to them and just ran with it. You came out hot. The Sabres came out hot all week, really, on that win streak. They were moving quick, setting the tone early, physical play. Byram changed the team around as soon as the Mittelstadt trade happened. And then here we are talking about them being 5 points out now after climbing through the standings. They could have been 1 point out. They're five. So, Ryan, I wish I could pinpoint one issue. I think it's a culmination of many. I don't think it's just one thing we can really put our finger on here. It could be coaching, could be exhaustion. I have no idea, but they need to start. I'm in agreement. They need to start really putting it together here because the Fire Donnie chants have never been louder, unfortunately. I like Don Granato. I do. I really do. But I can't sit here and just make excuses the whole time, like, just because he's a likable guy, right? And I don't know. It's just, it's uneasy, that if that's the way to put it, right? Again, like I said, you could be the best team in hockey, and then all of a sudden, you're dropping games that you should be winning, that you beat a team earlier in the week. So, Louie from St. Bona, what do you want to say?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, I was listening to you guys, you know, about their comments about the game against the Detroit Red Wings. It was a shock. I mean, considering the week, a few days before, we blew out the Red Wings. We like shut them out, actually, did we?
Yeah, it was.
No, I think it was 7-4.
7-3, I think it was.
7-4, I think it was.
Yeah, 7-4. But it was a highly competitive game. We looked on point, and then a few days later, we shut out the New York Islanders. We seemed like we had a good power play. And, you know, going into the game on Saturday, I felt like more with Tage Thompson getting to go on the power play, then just everything fell apart. And, you know, it is interesting considering that all the times that this team had moments where they could have gotten over the hump and maybe make it to the playoffs, it just never happened. I mean, I personally like to believe that last year the Sabres didn't make it because we had a bit of bad breaks on defense with goaltending. November last year in 2022 was awful.
Yeah, the collapse, the November collapse. It was like historical. 2 years in a row, they just completely rolled over and showed their belly and lost 8 games straight. Like that's why you didn't make the playoffs last year. You were 1 point away from Florida. You win one more of those games, you're in the playoffs last year.
You're right. Yeah, right. We couldn't beat Florida. That's all. It always kind of infuriates me whenever we can't beat Florida. I mean, I remember Devin Levi's. Wasn't Devin Levi's debut game against Florida?
Yes, I believe it was, actually. I believe you're right.
I think New York. It was a Ranger game. When Skinner scored the overtime winner, that was what it was.
Skinner overtime winner. That's right. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, still, you're Florida, right, your point with Florida still stands. Yeah.
You just can't
beat him.
That point was Florida stands. I mean, that game he had against Florida, you know, one of his first games, I thought it was a really great game. But it was a thing. There were a few times you feel like they could have gotten goals to get them over against Florida because Levi did his part. But you can't trust him to make all the saves. But, you know, earlier this year, I predicted that Devin Levi should get some time in Rochester, and look where that got him. He's absolutely lighting it up down there. And I think it is a good idea, you know, with back-to-back games. So who do we got after Seattle?
You have Vancouver. It's a back-to-back, so they'll play tomorrow night in Canada. So Levi's going to, again, probably be the starter at this point because of the customs and the travel quick here. So,
yeah, so I think it would definitely be a good idea to bring him back up for this back-to-back. You know, he's playing hot right now, and then he can go back to Rochester and chill down back there, you know, see the AHL playoffs with them coming up, you know, if the team makes a jump for that. And also, I don't know if you guys are talking about Bills yet, but I actually do like the idea that we extended Taron Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think this team, what we're doing a good job is that we got to at least keep the guys that we seem to like. You know, I'm going to be honest. I believe that Tre'Davious White is not going to be the same player he was. Even if he keeps going. I mean, I heard that he's visiting with the Raiders and the Rams.
Yeah, that report came out earlier today, but I'm with you on that. An Achilles tear rupture and a ACL tear, you can't be the same player again after that. Like,
Let's not forget, I think he tore his ACL in both legs. I mean, didn't he already have an injury like that in college?
I'm not 100% sure about that, but just even the injuries as he's on the Bills, the Achilles pop to end this season, he just got back to playing all right. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, another injury.
Yeah, and let's not forget, I don't know if you saw this, but you just saw that Leighton Vander Esch just retired because of a neck injury.
Yeah.
And he's only been one in the NFL for 6 years. And let's not forget, there are also like legends that retired early because of injury concerns. Patrick Willis. He's about to get inducted into the Hall of Fame, even though he's only played 7 seasons in the league. And, you know, when he shockingly retired in, what was it, 2015, he still looked like he had a lot left in him. But, you know, he retired. And then, you know, also there was like a whole bunch of retirements and guys leaving. There was a rookie linebacker that was a standout for San Francisco that year. He retired because he retired just after one season of playing because he was concerned for his health. You know, this is a reminder that football is a dangerous game. And, you know, also, Joe.
Well, look at the. I don't know. Just another example. Yeah. Eric Wood, it's his birthday today, and how early he had to end his career as a center because of a neck injury. Like, that's how it is.
It was definitely a hard one. It was definitely a hard one, but
yeah.
Completely understandable. This really just shows how much football is. And I do agree with the idea that cutting Tre'Davious White, he was a great – he could have easily been an all-time great for the Bills, but injuries just show that we need to move on from him. And I like the idea that we got – I'm obviously thinking that the idea of what we want to do in terms of depth, I say still try and do what you can to build up your secondary. And you seem to do that already with Taron Johnson, giving him that three-year deal worth, what, $24 million, making him the highest-paid nickelback in the entire league. And because I'm going to be honest, I like the front seven that we have right now. I like that we brought back Daquan Jones.
A.J. Epenesa.
A.J. Epenesa, phenomenal game in Jacksonville.
Yep, exactly. He's got so much upside. I think it was better to keep him around than Leonard Floyd. And that might be a hot take, but... he had one of the best seasons of his career. This is a cherry pick stat. He had more interceptions than Sauce Gardner did on the year. So,
Oh, and without a doubt, I think he definitely had the best season of his career. I mean that Jacksonville game. I don't care that we lost. I feel like he was
that was a freak game
in that game. I mean he created so many opportunities with like forced fumbles, sacks. He was phenomenal that game.
Yeah,
and I like that. And I like Gregory Rousseau, Ed Oliver. He had the best season of his career, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. Louis, thank you for the call and all of the great Bills talk here. I know I touched on it a little bit. I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Louis. Go Sabres. All righty, we're going to just keep moving through the phone calls here. Dan in Buffalo, what do you want to talk about?
Hi, Joe. I got two questions for you.
All right, shoot.
I wanted to talk about Eric Comrie and what you think the Sabres are doing with him because, you know, they bring up Levi from Rochester and, you know, we signed this guy named Eric Comrie to a two-year deal who's supposed to be a starter or a backup. And what is the coaching staff doing? Not even trusting him anymore. It's weird to me to say that we're going to sign this guy for a bunch of money, and UPL rightfully has taken the starting job, but now with a doubleheader right here, you're not trusting your veteran guy to go get in the goal and, you know, stop some pucks. You're bringing up Levi?
See,
it just seems odd to me.
I can see where you're coming from on that, because they did invest in Eric Comrie, and it seems like they're kind of putting him to the wayside here. I think it might only be because of how well Levi's been doing in Rochester, right? He's kind of had a resurgence from the struggles he was having earlier in the season. And I know it's the AHL, right? But you might be banking on him a little bit here, giving him a little bit of a push, saying, hey, you're going to be the back-to-back guy, see what you can do. And then once this trip's over, he's going back down. Like, that's just kind of what's going to happen, you know?
All right. And then my second question was, you know, depending on this road trip, you know, I've seen all the stats out there that say the Sabres need to go have 9 wins, 3 losses, and like 2 overtime losses to even have a shot at the playoffs. You think, depending on this West Coast trip, that we can start seeing, if it goes wrong, and let's say they lose 2 games, because it is a tough, at least 3-4 games.
Well, it's a tough one tonight because they've never beat them. So, I mean, it's going to be tough.
Do you think that maybe Evan Adams and Don Granato start bringing up maybe a Kulich or a Biro, or start playing Rusek more, or bring Rosen up, or even bring back Ryan Johnson because they sent him down?
Yeah.
And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you so much for having me. You're doing a great job, Joe.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Listen, it's definitely it's an interesting road trip, to say the least, because there's a lot that does need to happen. I want to see these guys come up and play. Ryan Johnson, to me, was NHL ready from the beginning. That's what he was touted as, right? But no, we're going to send him up and down. It's just kind of tough, you know?
Like, I think that
and I would
he'd
love to
be
see
a bottom pair defenseman,
And right now, oh my gosh, why am I blanking?
Bryson?
Yeah, Jacob Bryson has played a little bit better.
He has. He's had an uptick. I think Byram really
has changed his defense.
Right.
And, you know, even though he's not a left shot defenseman, I still like how he looks.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
To get to Dan's point, I don't know if I really am a fan of... I just don't know how I feel about bringing up all the prospects. Maybe
I don't think
some.
All of them. Some of them, like, I agree with, for sure. But I think you got to kind of keep your core team core team. You can't really jeopardize that. You know what I'm saying? Even though Gergensen's is on the first line tonight. Like, please, can we get Tim Murray out of the Sabres? Like that's kind of where I'm at on that. But quickly before the break here, I do want to take this last call from Joe in Buffalo. What you got?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for the call.
Doing good. I got a couple of cool questions. It's weird to me why we have Gergensen on our first line. I mean, I don't know if you – I just heard of you before the call how you were saying, what are they doing? Like, why do you have him instead of Skinner? You're paying, like, double money to Skinner. You have him on your third line, or you have
Yeah, they're kind of Krugering him again, huh?
Yeah, I just don't understand, especially with Victor Olsen. Like, any of these guys, I mean – at least Skinner. I just don't understand why you have a fourth liner on your first line. That literally that's mind-boggling. I don't understand that.
Yeah,
and
I'm with you on that. I don't see an explanation that's right in front of us either, unfortunately, to get to the bottom of what exactly it is, because it can't be experimentation at this point, because you're pushing for the playoffs. It's not like the season's gone like it was 2 years ago and you were mixing stuff around to just see how it would work. Like, you can't be doing that now. So I don't know what they see in Zemgus Gergesen's, truthfully, to put him on that top line. Maybe we'll see something tonight. I have no idea, but to say I'm optimistic is not true at all. I'm not optimistic about it, to say the least. That's for sure.
Yeah, I highly doubt that. And my other thing too is goaltending. My future goaltending pair I'd like to see would be UPL and Levi. I think they would be a really good pair together. I've liked them individually, especially Levi. I love what I see from him. Watched him in college. UPL has come a long way. I think he's going to be, you know, a star in the league at some point. I just think them two guys together would be a nice duo.
Yeah, no.
I understand he's going to go down to Rochester, but I'd love to have him stay up here.
100%.
I'm going to get your guys' thoughts on them two things.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. The first line is that's a big fat question mark in front of my eyes. I'm with you on that one. I don't know why Gergensen's up there, but on the goalie situation, UPL, after having double hip surgery in 2019, has officially, I think, you know, busted out of the conversation of, oh, he had double hip surgery, he's got to get his, you know, bearings under him. He has come out in the calendar year of 2024 and really just exploded. Him and Devin Levi might be, if Levi really pans out to what he's expected to, could be one of the better goaltending pairs in hockey. So that'll be interesting to see how that happens. I love them both. Levi, I think, might finish the season in Rochester. I don't think that's a knock on him. I think it's just he's been there. They're playing well. They're making a playoff push as well. So you might want to leave him down there. But next season, expect Levi and Lukanen. So thank you for all the calls. Much appreciated. You know, keep calling in. If you have any thoughts on the upcoming Sabres match, 716-803-0550 or on twitter.com/X, whatever you want to call it. I'm Joe Kelly. This is the Nightcap. You're listening to WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Battle for it along the wall. Skinner comes away with it. Far circle. Shot with a rebound. Cousins scores! Pucks to the net, and then the workhorse from Whitehorse buries it. Sabres 2, Islanders no score.
Sabres Islanders, what a time to be alive last week when they were on the three-game win streak. All before it came crashing down to the Red Wings once again.
Let's not say crashing. It did not crash.
No, we just...
If tonight is another 4-1 loss, then I think we can say crash and burn.
Yes. Thank you for the music bumps, by the way. It's my favorite music. So
same here, baby.
Yeah, there we go. Sabres After Dark. Pre-game at 9 p.m. Brian Kozio will join us at 8:45. Get you a little preview to the pregame. Pre-pregame. So we'll talk to Brian at 8:45 as we get closer to the one of the bigger matchups, I would say, for the Sabres here, because you've never beaten the Kraken. And I know I've said that. It's like beating a dead horse at this point. But
I'll say that this isn't as important as when they were playing Detroit and the Islanders. Those were
the big ones. Yes.
Those were the big ones. I'm not going to say if you lose, you're going to be really, like, it's going to be bad. But I'll tell you, I think that if we're looking at it, if you can get it to overtime, that'd be great.
Yeah,
overtime shootout.
You need a point. You got to come back with a point at least. Two is what you want.
I also kind of want to win just this game in particular just to get the monkey off that back of, hey, you finally beat the Seattle Kraken, who I'm still not a huge fan of the name.
Right. Yeah. The Kraken are the Kraken. They're the newer team in the NHL. They had the draft pool of picking some of the better teams on these other, or better players on these other teams, right? So it's just kind of, you're kind of playing against, who do they take from the Sabres? Did they take someone from the Sabres?
Yeah, it was, Will Borgen.
Will Borgen, that's right. So, listen.
He was solid.
No, he was solid.
I think he would have probably just been like maybe a third, fourth pair defenseman.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, they grabbed him and many others from many other teams. So, listen, in two full years, seasons in the NHL, I think you're going to be fine. The Sabres are due for a win against them, so I think they will get it. It's going to be interesting. That's the best way to put it for the end stretch of this season. It's going to be interesting. Again, if you weren't tuned in and you're tuned in now, Buffalo Sabres playoff picture on playoffstatus.com. Sabres are at a 5% chance here and 95% chance they won't make it. Better than the Devils, Canadiens, Senators, and Blue Jackets. So taking a look at that, it's just kind of you're behind the Penguins, the Islanders, and Capitals. You beat the Islanders last week. So it's just kind of you got to start putting games together here. The Red Wings are in the last playoff spot. And they have a 36% shot to make the wild card after beating the Sabres on Saturday. So, listen, the trade deadline changed the entire feeling of the team, I would say. Bo Byram comes in to that defense. Middle stack goes. You're immediately thinking, oh no, Bowen Byram has had a history of concussion issues. Casey Middlestat, one of the more consistent players on the team. The consistently inconsistent team. He was the most consistent player, funnily enough, after being one of the worst for like 7 years or however long he's been here. You know what I mean? So he kind of flipped that around and he bumped up his trade value. I've said it jokingly on pretty much everything I've popped onto. His trade value has just increasingly gone up, and they actually did it. They pulled the trigger on it. And you get Bo Byram here, and the worry initially was, oh, he's had a history of concussions. What is he going to look like? Are we going to get the Bo Byram who played in the Stanley Cup final, right? That's the ceiling. That's what you want. Are you going to get it? He is essentially coming into that, not fully, but he's flipped the defense around completely. Because before you had Power and Dahlin, And that was it. I mean, you had your other lines, of course, but they weren't doing anything spectacular. Your first pair of defense was your pair. Now, with Byram, you've got Dahlin switching to the right side as a left shot, which he said he likes because opens up more passing lanes than the left side does. So that could be that's been interesting. They've switched spots a couple times. If you watch them, they start confusing the other team by shifting around. Did they do it on Saturday? No, they didn't. So I don't know what to say there, but the win streak, they were doing it, right? So you want to see more of that tonight, especially against this Kraken team who, you know, they always play you tough. There's no question about it. They're going to play you tough. So if you can go back to what you were doing last week, get Byram and Dahlin. I mean, even Owen Power. Look at Owen Power, right? He's actually putting his head down and rushing towards the net and taking shots. Where was that all season? He was scoring on himself in the beginning of the season. And he's showing up. This team is actually kind of showing up. It's too little too late. I agree with a lot of people. But they're showing what they could have been all season. If you played consistently all season, you would be in a playoff spot. The NHL playoffs, I mean, they're kind of asking for you to be in it. You know what I'm saying? Especially this season. Look how close all the points are. Rangers, 68 or 94 points. Hurricanes, 90 points. Like, they're right up there. They're interchangeable with after a couple games, right? The Bruins, 95 points. Panthers, 94 points.
Remember when we thought that there was going to be a downfall of the Bruins this year?
Yeah. Don't they say that every year?
Yeah.
And then it just doesn't happen?
I don't know why.
It's because it's a Boston sport. They're just there to torture you. So that's just kind of what happens. But anyway, it's just everything's close. Everything is close. So am I going to sit here and say they're going to make the playoffs? Absolutely not. I'm not putting my life on that. You know, it's not. It's going to be a task to get them into the playoffs. But can it be done? Yeah, absolutely. I would say it could be done. Am I a hopelessly optimistic Buffalo sports fan? Yes. Sitting here saying this. Would a Toronto fan or a Boston fan come in here and say something like that? Absolutely not. Because guess what? I mean, Toronto can't make it past the first round of the playoffs anyway. Don't tell anyone that. But Boston is consistently in it, right? So, listen, it's tough. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be frustrating. I feel it coming. The wall is going to collapse at some point. I can tell you that. But right now, just ride the wave. Come on, like, back the Sabres. Buffalo's a hockey town, is it not? It's a hockey city.
I would say so. I mean,
100% a hockey city.
I mean, I know you were, how old did you say you were?
I was born in 2002, so yeah. I was like 3 or 4 or 5 in that area.
2011, you probably, was the last time the Sabres made the playoffs.
Yeah, and that wasn't, I mean, I'm going to be honest.
I was in 7th grade.
Yeah, what was I? 4th? Something like that? I don't know.
But,
so, again,
but either,
I wasn't like a huge
way,
fan. I'd go to the game and eat snacks. Like, come on. Before
they
had the hot dog of the day.
Plaza is something that I've wanted to always experience and never have gotten the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Listen, Party in the Plaza. It happened for the Bandits last year, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's like,
but
people got a taste.
It's a little bit different when it comes to the Sabres.
They took a nibble of the street New York's pizza, right? Like, oh, I want more of this. Now the fans, after last season, they're banging on the door. They were ready to go for this season. The first few weeks, you go to KeyBank Center, it was full. Not full, it wasn't sold out, but like you know what I mean? The 50-50 got over $3,000. You know what I'm saying? Now you go there on a Tuesday night, it's no man's land. You don't even have to wait in traffic to drive home. You don't even have to wait in traffic. And it's frustrating because I'm not going to sit here and act like I've been a full-on fan my entire childhood. I couldn't. I don't know how I could. I don't even know how I could for the Bills, but I did it. Growing up, when the teams are just horrible, it's tough to watch. Tough to watch a full game. I think the first full game I've watched on TV without just checking the highlights on Twitter or being at the game the next morning was the Islanders game. I sat there, was jumping up and down, getting into it. That hasn't happened all season. And it shows. They go like this, the city's behind them. And the thing is, they're teasing you. That's what I've seen all over social media. We're just being teased right now. We're seeing what they could have been all season. But it's not gonna come to fruition, right? So You're seeing what they could be. And now, especially, they're dangling it in front of you. Oh, we could have been 1 point out. But unfortunately, we're not. We're five. So I'm saying we like I'm a part of the team. That's the farthest thing from the truth. Let's get connected with the fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Josh in Hamburg, what you got?
So longtime Bandits season ticket holder here. And honestly, the feel in that arena is what I miss about Sabres games. Wish we could get that back here in Buffalo. Seeing an average from 16,000 to 18,000 fans in Banditland is just incredible for lacrosse. But to have that feel back in that arena is just nostalgic. Thinking about the Senator series and, that whole place chanting Emery, trying to throw him off his game. And you get that in Banditland and really just miss it with the Sabres. Hoping to see that back here soon.
Yeah.
I hope to listen to you guys comment.
I appreciate the call, Josh. Thank you. I think the masses are with you on that. I know I am. I've never been a big lacrosse fan. I'm going to say it. Like, I never have. I went to my first Bandits game my freshman year of college. I've never looked back. Like, I never have. That environment, when it's rocking in there, it is rocking.
It was weird when I went. I don't want to say weird like in a bad way, but I
no,
was
it's a good weird.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
I was
half the time the concession stands are running out of food because guess what? They're not ready for a Bandits crowd when it's a Sabres crowd every week. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have not, the Bandits have not disappointed. They have made playoff bursts. They've won championships. They did last season. And guess what? They still keep games interesting. The other night, down to the wire. They were down the entire game. The first lead they had was in the first, no, the closest they had, it was 3-1 in the first quarter. They bring it up past a tie and they just win the thing. Like, come on. Like, that's awesome. A come from behind victory for a team that's coming off kind of on a championship hangover, if you will, right? Not winning as many games as they did last season. They can make the playoffs. The rush for May is happening. Yeah, they could do it again. Just got to get into the playoffs. I was at the playoff series the year before they won it, and I've not been in an indoor arena like that since, because I was unfortunately not able to go to the championship run last year. But
I mean,
still,
I had the opportunity to see the RJ game. Now,
yeah, well, that's
a little bit different because
even the Ryan Miller game, right? Those games they mm-hmm. were packed, but it was because of the ceremony, right? The on ice product is not what's selling those tickets.
That was one thing that I'll tell you, I paid like maybe $100 for tickets in the lower bowl. And then when, like, I was just, for what's and giggles, I looked at Ticketmaster. 300 bowl level seats were selling for double of what I paid for lower bowl.
Yeah.
So there's.
Because people realized and they jumped on them.
There is passion there. And sometimes it takes having a ceremony like Ryan Miller's banner going up in the rafters. It takes a ceremony like RJ night.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what it really takes. An on-ice product that's worth selling
exactly.
to your fans.
Exactly.
And that's not what they've been providing.
People want to see. I'm not going to say we should get back to like 7-4 games, but that's what we should get to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm in 100% agreeance with you. It was great to get connected with some fans. We're going to go to a quick break here. Please, call in. Give us your thoughts heading into the Sabres matchup towards the end of the season. If you want to talk some Bills, go ahead. Bring it up while you're on the phone, and we'll get chit-chatting. You're listening to The Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. This is WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are back with The Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You're listening to WGR. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to all the callers. May the first hour fly by. Got some Bandits talk in there, too, some football, and, of course, the one and only Buffalo Sabres who grab your heartstrings and just yank them around until they're just numb. So
it's just like I make the comparison. Being a Sabres fan is like being in a toxic relationship.
100%.
Because they like get you up. You're like, oh, maybe things are changing. And then,
yep, that's it. You're done. Quick, though, before we hit the top of the hour break here, quick little segment. It's bracket season, everyone. Selection Sunday. Now passed. It's gone. So the first games are tomorrow for the men's, and the women's start on Wednesday. So
The first four, right?
First four.
When I see Virginia as a 10 seed, that shocked me.
Yeah. Listen.
This is my favorite bracket. I don't care what everybody says about
I was a Michigan guy.
The World Cup being the best bracket or college football playoff being the best bracket. This is the best bracket.
This 100% is. You know why? Because you don't have to be a basketball fan. People just do them at random.
And
you know, they join a pool and do one, right?
You could be a small school like St. Peter's.
Well, yeah, look at that run, right? Like, you could do anything. And Niagara was close, you know what I'm saying? So it's like
they had a solid run. They beat the number one team in the Metro Atlantic, and then I feel like that just fell off.
Yeah, no, that's just unfortunate that there's no local team in here. UB women's almost went to the women's one. They were one game away.
They lost. They're going to the NIT.
Yeah,
good for them.
That'll be cool. But yeah, I mean, we can talk about this a little bit too in the next hour here. Have you done your brackets? Who do you have winning it all, and who do you maybe have upset-wise or anything like that? I'm a big upset guy. The Rocky movies are my favorite. I love an underdog. So
I'm seeing Purdue. My hot take, Purdue's not going to make it out of the second round.
Okay. All right.
Even though they're one seed, they're not making it out of the second round.
Yeah. Listen, anything can happen.
They're not going to make it out of the second round, or they're going to win it all like Virginia did. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. If you have anything, bracket, it's bracket season. If you want to talk about it, feel free to call in 803-0550. That's with a 716 again, because now we have to use area codes. Buffalo's going to get another one of those, too. That's a story, 624. So have to wait and see.
They'll have to make two Buffalo days.
Yeah.
So June 24th.
Yeah. Yep. Grandpa's birthday, too, so that'll be a good one. We're going to take a quick break here at the top of the hour, and we'll be back on the other side for hour two. Brian Koziel at 845. Maybe some others in there, too, sprinkled in. We'll see. You're listening to The Nightcap. I'm Joe Cali. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.